2 weeks ago, and I spent 2 weeks trying to figure out where I need to be. And my plane fell through here. It got up, I planned a new plane, and my body was telling me I couldn't. I was where I couldn't do what I planned on. And all that runs through my mind, all warning is I need to work on them grapevines, so mom and daddy.
Yeah.
I didn't. That's what God wanted me this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday. And that's what we worked on. If you find your place, yeah. I'll invite you to stand and reverence the reading of God's word. John chapter number 15 and verse number 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. I'll ask Chris if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Father, we come to you. We thank you for goodness and mercy, Lord. We thank you for loving us, for allowing us another opportunity to be in your house today, Lord. We thank you for what we felt in our hearts and our minds, Lord. Lord, we ask now that you touch Brother Adam, Lord. Preach and use him. Touch his body and his voice. Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you for his family, Lord. What a blessing they are in our hearts and our lives, Lord. We thank you for answering prayers this morning, Lord. But most of all, we thank you for saving us, for loving us, Lord. We ask you now, may be one of the sound of my voice that don't know you in a free pardon of sin. Lord, you put conviction on them, heaven real. Save them before it's everlasting too late. Lord, draw this church closer unto you. And everything is said and done today, Lord, we want to bow our own heads and hearts and say, Jesus, done it all. Amen.
I don't know if I'll be long or short this morning, but I want to give you what God's put on our heart. Verse number 1 of chapter number 15 is, the Lord, dear, as we begin to work on those grapevines, I had no clue where he would have my heart this morning, but as we began to work on them, he began to show some things unto my heart. I got home and I read over some things, and the Lord just kept leading and pushing. And I got to verse number 1 of chapter number 15 right here, and it starts out, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, when it talks about vine right here, the way I picture the vine, it's not the actual vine itself, but when you refer to stuff, you talk about rootstock a lot. Everything is, the life of that plant is the root of that plant. That is the rootstock to take care of that plant in some way, shape, or form, whether it be a tree, whether it be a grapevine, whatever it may be, it is the root that is the life of that plant. So I'm going to refer to it as the root while I'm talking, and don't get confused on what I'm talking about. But it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So what we get a picture of in verse number 1 of chapter number 15 right off the bat, we see the Father and the Son. We see the picture of the Trinity. And we know the next couple chapters, Jesus would reveal that the Holy Spirit was going to come down and abide in this earth. We get the picture of the Trinity. We know without a doubt that in chapter number 15, He is dealing with the saved people. He's not dealing with the lost. He's not dealing with this old world, but He's dealing with people that have entrusted their life to Him. He says, I am the vine. I'm the one that gives that life unto you. He's talking about the second birth that we would have through salvation. But He says, my Father is the husbandman. Now that sets the tone for the rest of what we're dealing with here this morning. That husbandman is the one that is the caretaker of the vineyard. He is the one that has started the vine. He is the one that has envisioned the way that vine is supposed to look. He is the one that has made the preparations all around the vine. All the land that would have had to be cleared, everything straightened out, would have been because his husbandman had made everything set forth and in place before the vine was to ever be planet. What we're talking about here is God the Father and His design of this whole world. It is an infallible design that He's God. It is perfect in every way, shape, and form. And He's saying all things were set in motion. Everything was set forth before the vine was ever given to you and I through the cross of Calvary. He had already envisioned what had been taking place even in my life and your life years down the road. And what it's saying is nothing about the vine or the branches coming off the vine has surprised the husbandman. He has known without a doubt from the start of time what was going to take place with that vine. Our God has not been caught off guard in any way, shape, or form in our life. And we've never faced a trial. We've never faced a tribulation in which He did not know what was happening or what was taking place because we are a part of the vine. We are in Jesus Christ. He looked down before I was even thought of by anybody here. And He knew that I needed a Savior. He knew that there was going to have to be some rootstock that I was going to have to be grasped into in order to ever make it through this life. And God made those preparations. What we see in the husbandman here is the overseer. The family sung a while ago. Me and Summer went hiking on Wednesday and got up on Crowder's Mountain and looked down. And the thought in my mind was, once you get to this elevation, I can see things that didn't make sense before. You can see driveways that didn't make sense. But if you got up on that mountain and you begin to look down, you can see why those driveways were routed the way that it was. And little things like that that didn't make sense on the ground, but that elevation, it all worked out. That's what that husbandman is today. He is the one that's got that higher perspective than you and I do. I don't understand a lot of times the things that we go through, the things that we face. But He is the one that knows and understands the trials and situations that you and I will come up against. As He moves on in verse number 2, He says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So now we get down into the pruning of the vine that's taking place. And you know, a lot of times you talk about the pruning of the vine, the cutting away because of sin, because of problems. And He talks about that in the first part. But that's not where God would have our heart today. As we begin to cut on that grapevine yesterday and begin to take those vines back to where they needed to be, I began to think about if that vine could talk, what it would be saying at that point. I'm sure being a picture of me as the vine and our Heavenly Father being the one that trims and cuts away, if that vine could have been talking, it would have been saying, "Do you really understand what you're doing? Do you really understand what's going on? Do you understand how much I went through to achieve what I've achieved, and now you're taking it all away? Everything that I've worked for throughout the past year, you flipped it upside down. Lord, this is not my plan. This is not the way I expected things to be. But the one that is taking care of the vines is the one that knows and understands the purpose behind the pruning that has to take place." You know, I begin to think about the seasons that would happen. The four seasons throughout the year, and then we look at when the pruning has to happen compared to what takes place in other seasons. And we got spring of the year, which has vines. They begin to grow vigorously. They begin to put on leaves, and they grow exponentially. It seems like overnight those vines begin to expand. And in the summer, what's happened in the spring is it's put on the leaves and the little buds for the grapes to come on. And what those leaves do is in the summer, those grapes begin to form. Those leaves that have happened in the spring shelter that fruit from getting damaged in any way, shape, or form from the sun, from the storms. That's what the leaves are for. And in the fall, you come in and you begin to harvest those grapes. And those grapes, because they've been protected by the leaves, and in the summertime, they've had the nutrition that they needed to grow. In the fall, those grapes are going to be big. They're going to be sweet. They're going to be nurturing to anybody that would eat that grape. But what happens is we come into winter. And I believe, by looking at things, I've asked God, I've said, "God, why in the world does the church seem to face so many problems, seem to face so many trials, seem to face so many hardships, not just in our little church, but it seems like the bride of Christ in a whole, every way that they turn, they're coming up against some opposition. But if you begin to think about those seasons, and not everything is springtime in the Christian walk of life, and not everything is summer, and not everything is fall, but I believe the church has been in winter times here lately, and it seems like the dormancy has come about. It seems like God is not moving like He once did. It seems like God is not touching lives. It seems like God is not saving. It seems like the church is not growing, but that's the process of the winter time when it comes down to it. You see, those vines, they can't put the grapes on year-round. It would never benefit nobody. But that vine has to go through the wintertime and the pruning process in order for the spring and summer to ever be beneficial and bear the fruit in the fall. You see, what happens is in the winter, that vine, it would go dormant. That's why it can be trimmed back and not hurt. That vine that has worked so hard to produce in the past and has produced so well, it goes dormant, and there's nothing beautiful about it at that point. There's no leaves. There's no fruit. It's not doing anything for you. But that rootstock that you and I should be rooted in today in Christ, it never goes dormant. That root is alive year-round. No matter what season we're facing as a church, He's still working. That root is still growing. It's still pulling nutrition. It's still giving us everything we need. It seems like the church has been hit over and over again. And we wonder why the valleys. And we wonder why the trials. And it's not so much, I don't think it's the first part of verse number 2. I don't believe it's the sin that has separated our fellowship from God and has cut things away. But I believe it's the latter part of verse number 2. Where He says, those that bear fruit, He purged it so that it bringeth forth more fruit. I believe what's happened is God has found pleasure in the church. And God has begun to prune and snip away some things in order so that He might use the church to be a light for Him. You say, what's happened in those grapevines? What's happened over the past year? As they had fruit on them this fall, but this next year they're not going to bear as much. They're not going to put on the big healthy fruit. They're not going to put on the grapes that are big. Instead, they'll be small. They'll lose their sweetness. There will be nothing about them that is as desirable as the year before. But what happens is when you go in and you begin to prune those vines, that has already got the foundation that's set right, that has already got the main vine hooked in, that is already getting the nutrition, and you begin to trim those vines back in the right time, what those vines do is they grow vigorously again in the spring. And in the summer, they begin to put on more grapes. And those grapes begin to get plump again and sweet to everything that's around them. And then in the fall, there's going to be another harvest coming back. You said, what are you saying? I believe God has sent some trials to the way of the church so that we could draw nigh unto Him and begin to bear fruit again. You know, the funny thing about winter is it don't last forever, as you as I can see it now. There's Easter lilies beginning to pop up and bloom. What it's showing us is that winter is only for a season. Those trials in the church are only for a season. Those tribulations that you and I would come against are only for a season. Even though I may be throwing my hands up and saying, God, I don't understand. God, it don't make sense as to why in the world you would put these trials in my pathway. I don't understand why I could be serving you, Lord, and giving you honor and glory, and then you knock me to the ground. But God has got a purpose, and that's for us to serve and honor and worship Him.
Amen.
You know, the thing about those vines is we was cutting them back. Some of them over the years, we've let them grow and make a bigger main vine coming across. And that vine has took just a little bit of pruning. But there's some of them that you have to prune heavy every year in order to get them to do right, in order to get them in the direction that you want, in order to get them to get the right kind of growth, the nutrition that they need. You see, what happens if the pruning never takes place? The fruit is never sweet. It does not bear the fruit that it needs. Oh, it bears fruit, but it doesn't bear the fruit that's possible for it to bear. So what God's done, even though I don't understand what goes on sometimes, And I can ask God why it seems like there's not answers and He don't owe me any kind of answer or explanation. But what He's doing, I believe, is He's beginning to snip back some things so that we can bring more honor and glory to His name. He's beginning to form us and shape us in a way so that we can be alive into a lost and a dying world greater than we was before. It's not that we wasn't serving before, but instead we can serve Him that much better after all this is done. It's not that those lives weren't married grace before, but how much more can they put on once the pruning is done? Oh, I could step back and the pruning that's taken place. I could say, God, you know how much pain it's causing them. But God's saying it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it when everything's said and done. You know why? Because He's the overseer. He is the one that already knows what that vine needs. He is the one that already knows the nutrition, the trimming, and the fruit that's possible to be born by that vine. If everything works out in His plan. You see what happens. Oh, when He begins to cut, sometimes I'm confused. That's the plan of the Lord, but in Romans 8:28, He says, "We know that all things work together for good that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." You know what it's telling us here? My purpose is not for me, but my purpose is to love and serve Him, and then everything's going to work out as His plan, and according to His plan to bring honor and glory unto His name. Sure, I may not understand it. Sure, I don't understand how things are good sometimes when it flips our world upside down. Sure, I don't understand how it's good in the eyes of God when it seems like the church struggles so much sometimes. But God has set back and He's saying this is a necessity in order for y'all to keep serving me. You say, what are you getting at? I'm looking for springtime in the church to pop up here pretty soon. I'm looking for some growth to take place. I'm looking for some fruit to be born again, and it seems like we're on top of the mountain once again. You say, when's that going to happen? I don't know. It may not even happen down here in this walk of life. It may be that our next springtime is when we flourish over there on life's other side when He calls us home to be with Him. But one way or another, I do know that the trials are not going to last forever. They're just for the perfecting of the bride of Christ. You know, when we come down to it, you got the husbandman of the vineyard. You got the rootstock, but nothing's about the beauty of the vine.
Yeah.
It's all about the fruit that is to be born in the end.
Yeah.
Nothing's about what I look like going through this walk of life. Nothing's about what I can accomplish in this walk of life in myself. But it's about what can I do for Him. How can I bring honor and glory to His name? How can the Lord use me? Yes. And sometimes He flips our world upside down in order to be used by Him. It goes on down in the next verses. Verses 4 through verses number 7. And He mentions time and time again in those verses. He says, abide in me, and I in you. Now, I could have thinking about the pruning of the vine. No, abiding in Him. You know what happens is with them vines sometimes, I'm pruning this year, and next year that vine, you can either come back in there, but that wild shoot will take off again, and it'll have to be cut all the way off. Or when that pruning took place, that vine will correct itself and begin to grow in a different direction, in a way that's beneficial to that vine and the production of the vine. So there's some things that I believe we go through. That the Lord is wanting to use our lives in order to bring honor and glory to Him. And He begins to snip. And He begins to prune back some things. Not that we wasn't being a Christian before and living for Him before, but He could get so much more out of us. And then He gets to the place where He's just snipping some things back, and there's only two things that's going to happen. One, we're going to get a better heart and we're going to turn away from God. Or two, we're going to worship in the midst of the fruit. And I believe that's what's taking place in verse number 4 through 7. He's just saying there's something that's going to have to be cut off again. There's something that's going to have to be pruned time and time and time again. Because they're never benefiting the vine, no matter how much the Lord tries to take them and use them. They're never benefiting Him, never benefiting the church. So the Lord's going to put them through it time and time
and time again until he begins to get glory out of their life. But then there's some the Lord can put them through the mountains. And then they come back and they abide in him. They're worshiping the Lord. They grow in the right way. They don't understand what they're going through, but they know that God has a plan in the end to bring honor and glory to him. And God says, that's the one that I can use.
Yes.
He talks about, he says that verse number 5, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Yeah.
What he's worried about is how much we can bring forth.
Yeah.
The quality of the fruit in which you and I bring forth. Sure, I could sit here on the church pew every day that the Lord would allow these church doors to be open. And I can bring honor to him by being faithful to the house of God. But how much more could I do for the Lord if he would so purge me and bring me to a place where I could bear more fruit? Maybe it's he's trying to bring me to a place where I can testify more. Maybe it's he's trying to bring me to a place where I can stand up and shout more. Maybe he's trying to bring me to a place where I can be a greater witness for him. Where people inside the church can look and see the wisdom and discernment of God. Whatever it may be, I can assure you God has a plan. He's not caught off guard. He's not being confused.
Yes.
In verse number 8, he would sum it up. He says, herein is my Father glorified. That's what it's all about this morning. The valleys and the trials that the church has been going through, it's not because God's pushed us away. It's not because he doesn't want anything to do with us. But it's so he can be glorified. You know, there are some things that you and I would go through.
Yes.
And even with Daddy going through the stuff that he has, it seems like I've prayed more. You say, what do you mean? It seems like there's been more nights that I woke up and I prayed. There's been more days that I just set aside time and prayed. There's been times when I've been out working that normally my mind has just been focused on it. Then I prayed. You say, what's happened? God's got some glory out of it. He's drawn me a little bit closer to him. I don't understand why he puts us through some of the things that he does and people through those things. But what I do understand is in the midst of it, he's getting glorified.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he would flip our world upside down sometimes, but he's getting glorified. I can rest assured in that as a child of God. It goes on to verse number 9. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Right here, talking about the vine, talking about the pruning that is to take place. He's just saying that in the midst of all the, it looked like harm that had come to the vine. In the midst of all the cutting away, and if the vine could have talked, it would have said, are you sure about what's going on? In the midst of all that, the Lord's only doing that. The husbandman's only trimming the vine because he cares for the vine. You know, I begin to think about that aspect of it. Thinking about the vines that we trimmed yesterday. There's great vines all through the woods. Muscadine vines all through the woods. They grow everywhere. But I've never taken the time out to go and trim those vines in the woods to make them produce for you. Say, why? Because I don't care about those vines.
Yes.
But what's happening here is the Lord's pruning those vines because he loves us. He said, I love you. He said, that's why I'm putting you through this. He said, I'm trying to use you in a great and mighty way, and that's why I'm putting you through this. I'm wanting to bring honor and glory into my name because I love you and I want to work through you. That's why you're going through this. I begin to think about the love of the Lord and the love that the Father had for his Son and everything that ties back into the Scriptures. And you think about, well, he's turned my world upside down and I can walk away from God and in the eyes of this world. I would be justified because who would love me and put me through this? But who in the world would come down the cross of Calvary for somebody like me? Who in the world would decide to take and use me? Who in the world would put me through these trials because they wanted to perfect my life in their sight? Who in the world would do that besides somebody that loved me more than I could comprehend? Let me tell you, church, there's been a lot that's come along in the past few years that can get us discouraged, that can get us down. But rest assured, it's for the perfecting of the bride. Because he loves me. Because he loves you. Keep your head up and keep going. There's a springtime coming. I don't believe it's far away. Either way that I look, whether it's here in this life or whether it's when he raptures us out and some life's other side. But I believe there's a springtime coming, a joyous time for the church and the child of God, where we can worship and praise for everything that he's put us through in these past few years. Pastor, your service is yours.
Amen.